The Revelation, the last book in the Bible today, and it's a wonderful book. Sometimes preachers dodge it and don't preach from it, and theologians dodge it, but if God hadn't wanted us to know what's in the Revelation, He wouldn't have given it to us. Amen? And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it was the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast saying, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and His eternal word. Sometimes, my friends, we say and sing, "I can almost hear the sound of the trumpet." And we're talking about the coming of the Lord. We're talking about that last trump that will sound, that trumpet that will call the dead from the earth, call the forces of heaven from on high to come behind the rider on the white horse in Revelation chapter 19. And we talk about the prominence of the coming of the Lord and how the Lord is soon to come, and that we can almost hear the sounds of the trumpets as they sound. Well, the book of the Revelation, if you'll pay attention, part of it's happening in heaven and part of it's happening on earth. And sometimes you hear the voices cry out, and the voices are crying out from heaven. And at other times you hear things going on, or see and hear things going on, and they're going on the earth. Well, the book of the Revelation starts out with a message for people here on earth. The first three chapters of the Revelation are messages to the churches. It said, "He that has an ear, let him hear. The Spirit speaks to the churches." Well, that's a wonderful thing, because those seven churches that are listed there are the seven churches in Asia. They were real churches. They were real people. Those cities actually did exist, and some still do. And the Roman mail route that went up through Asia Minor, Asia Minor, by the way, is the old name for what we call Turkey today. And there were seven churches on this route in major cities. Now, in the outlying places, there were more churches than that. But these seven churches are addressed by God, and God gives them a message. And when John sees these seven churches, he is remarked to think that the Lord Jesus, and he describes him in wonderful terms, is walking among the churches. Don't that impress you? The Lord is walking among the churches, and he's lighting the candlesticks at every church. And as he walks among the candlesticks, he ministers to them and gives them messages and what to do. And that first three chapters of the Revelation are about the Lord speaking directly to those seven churches. Now, some theologians and preachers have made, all preachers are not very, very good theologians, by the way, has to them, he has given power, and he speaks to those churches and talks to them, but these churches don't represent necessarily all of the church ages that people live in. The truth is, my friend, that these churches existed all at the same time, but not all churches are alike. This church could be strong in one point, and another church somewhere is strong in another point. This church could be weak in one point, and at another church, they could be weak in another point. The truth is, my friend, that these were real churches, really living, and when John wrote this, he wrote it as a letter from God through him to the people, and he sent that letter out to every church. Now, you say, well, why didn't they just put it in a copier and copy it and send everybody a copy? Duh. There weren't any copiers. The only way you could get a letter was to handwrite it. The only thing you could copy was to handwrite it. So John writes this letter and they send it by ship. Where is John? He's on the Isle of Patmos. John has been imprisoned on an island because he is John the Apostle. Now, they tried to kill him. They had put him in a vat of boiling oil to kill him, and it hadn't killed him. And so they put him on this island and left him thinking, oh, that's the end of that old guy. And he was 90-some years old by then. All the other apostles were dead and gone on, and there he is out on this island. Patmos is still, it's an inhabited island. There are people who live there, but not many. And it's dry and it's isolated, so they thought they were done with John. Let me tell you something. Lucille, you all sing it sometimes. You can lock me up in a prison and what, throw the key away, but you can't take my freedom. John was as free with God on that island as he was if he'd been standing in the church in Ephesus, and that's where he lived and where his headquarters was. His life was free, even though he was banished from society, even though they tried to kill him, he was free. And one day on the Lord's Day, which day of the week's the Lord's Day? Sunday. On Sunday, I don't know if they were having church, but they sure had a good meeting. Any meeting's a good meeting where the Lord shows up, isn't it? And I just tell you the truth, I wouldn't want to go to church very long any place that the Lord didn't show up. I need the Spirit of God to move. And John is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And while he's in the Spirit, and I have no idea, nor nobody else does, how long this took. How long did it take him to see all this and write it down? So as he's out on the island, isolated, banished from humanity, stuck away where they think they can't never touch him, they have closed off the sea lanes and the roadways and all the ways that you could get to John, but they couldn't destroy the direct line he had to heaven. And the Spirit of the Lord came down, and he came in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Angels came and ministered to him, and visions began to be opened up before him. And as these things happened, messages came for the church. Then he said, angels came and began to tell him, we want you to know what's going to be hereafter. God does not want you, my friend, to be in darkness or in ignorance of what he's doing. God wants you to know what the end time is going to be like. God wants you to know how this path is going to run. And my friend, if you'll read God's word, read the book of Daniel, read Matthew 24, Luke 21, my friend Zechariah in the Old Testament, read those scriptures and go to the book of the Revelation. Now you have to understand that when John sees these things and hears these things, he has a working knowledge of the Holy Bible, the scriptures of the Old Testament. He has a knowledge of the words of the Apostle Paul that he's written in the scripture. So he knows what he's going to see about when he begins to talk to them. Now, God wants him to know and wants you to know these things that are going to happen hereafter. So you have to start asking yourself, what's going to happen? Hey, that's a logical question. What's going to happen? God wants you to know what's going to be happening hereafter. What's going to be happening? How's the world going to turn out? We say sometimes, I don't know what's going to become of this world. I happen to know. And you happen to know. And you know what? He sent us a letter and he told us how it's going to turn out. And I have to tell you, it ain't good for some of us. It's not good for the leaders of this world. I have to tell you, the people that are running the show here in this world better look out. Because things, they are a-fixing to change, brothers and sisters. Things are fixing to begin to look up. And you say, really? Oh, yes. Oh, we're going to walk through the valley. We're going to see some darkness. We're going to hear some thunder and see some lightning. We're going to see dead people laying everywhere. We're going to see nations destroyed. We're going to see oceans depleted. We're going to see famine and pestilences and all kinds of stuff. But when it all ends and the dust settles, and the last bomb has been exploded, the last tank has been shot, the last missile has been sent out, the last lie has been told, the last murder has been completed. My friend, I want you to know that when that happens, the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is going to come from glory. And my friend, he's coming in Revelation 19 like he's on a white horse, his vesture dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God, and he carries with him a sharp sword, and he comes to fight, and the armies of this world will have gathered in northern Palestine in a place that we call Armageddon, my friend, in the Valley of Jezreel. And he's going to come, and when he comes down with power and glory, we call it the battle. My friend, it's not going to be a battle as we want. They're not going to shoot at him and him shoot back and see who can shoot the best. He's going to shoot one time, my friend, one time, and it's going to destroy the armies of the Antichrist. Yes, my friend, somewhere in this world, perhaps even now already, there is an Antichrist who is living. There is a spirit of Antichrist that's been here since the days of the apostles. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, when he comes, the armies of the Antichrist will be vanquished by the sword of his mouth, and they will fall till the blood will run as high as horses' bridles. Brothers and sisters, you say, do you believe this? I believe what the Bible said. So when we arrive at chapter 6, he has given us in chapter 1, 2, and 3, he's given us all of the details about those local churches, from whence we can learn good lessons. But in chapters 4 and 5, something else happens, because he's looking into heaven. And as John looks into heaven, he is fascinated, not so much by the walls of jasper, the streets of gold, or any of that, not because of the 12 foundations of the city, which is 1,500 miles square, by the way, made out of diamonds and emeralds and rubies and all kinds of wonderful things. None of that fascinates him. What fascinates him? On the throne, at the highest point of that city, out of which runs a river of life, beside of which grows the tree of life. On that apex of that, what I believe to be a pyramid, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long. Out of the apex of that place, my friend, the highest point, there is the throne of God and of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, sitting at the right hand on the throne, my friend, and the glory of the Lord, the brightness of God is shining out everywhere. He sees all this, and he sees it, he's fascinated with him that is on the throne. And as he looks at this person sitting on the throne, with his hair as white as snow, with his garments glistening and bright, his feet bare with, as it looked like bronze, and he looks and he sees all of that, and he notices that in the right hand of him that's sitting on the throne, there is a book. Now don't confuse it with a book that looks like this. It's a scroll. It's a rolled up scroll. These kind of books hadn't been invented yet. It's a rolled up scroll that has the writing on it. And as he looks at the scroll, he notices that there are seven seals. In those days, they had these wax seals that they fastened two documents together with, and they had a signet ring that put the signature right into the wax. To get to the contents of that book, you had to break that seal. And as he looks, there is the man standing on the throne. The man, God Almighty, from eternity past to eternity future. The living God who created everything that's in this world and in this universe, he sees that in his hand. And he says to him, how are we going to open this? The whole destiny of humanity, the whole history of the earth, the whole prospect of future and life and death and everything is rolled up in this book, but nobody can get to it. It's sealed seven times shut, and no one can get to it. And John begins to weep. They took out a search warrant. They searched in heaven for somebody that would be worthy to go close enough to God to take that book out of his hand. But there wasn't anybody in heaven. They searched in earth. They searched under the earth. They turned over everything that there was, and there was no one found worthy to unlock the book. And they searched in hell. And they searched throughout the universe. And John broke down and cried, because the whole history, the whole destiny of the human race is locked up in that book. What are we going to do? How are we going to get it open? There's no one worthy to open it. So John begins to weep. And while he's weeping and crying, he hears one of the angels take him by the hand and show him, look, look. And the cry goes out. Someone has stepped forward. Someone has stepped forward. Ooh. Watch out, these Holy Ghost bumps going all over me. I tell you what, folks. He looks up at the throne, and the voice comes out and said, don't cry, John. Don't weep. Don't be distressed. Why? Someone has stepped forward. And guess what? When they stepped forward in the midst, they should have been destroyed. The brightness of the glory of God, the power of his majesty, should have shot out of that throne and destroyed that person, because human beings cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. But you know what? When this man stepped out and stepped into the midst before the throne, hallelujah. And as he stood before the throne, he raised his hands, and somebody said, he's wounded. He's wounded. He said, yeah, I got these wounds in the house of a friend. He had nail prints in his hands and nail prints in his feet, and his garments swagged back. And as it did, you could see the imprint of where the spear had gone in his side. It was none other than the baby who was born in Bethlehem. It was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, who had come down from glory. And the scripture said all of heaven busted loose. All of heaven began to sing. Everybody in heaven began to rejoice.
And they begin to sing, "Thou art worthy, who was dead and is now alive. Thou who was slain, you're worthy to open the book." There was one person in the whole universe that was worthy to step into the presence of the Almighty God. One person who was there, who was worthy to break the seals and open it up. One person in all of the universe, my friend, was there that was worthy to walk up to the throne of God. No angel, no creature, no person anywhere could walk into the blazing hot white glory of God and stand before Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ stood, who had lived and died for all of humanity. He had earned, "Thou art worthy, thou art worthy." He had earned His place of power at the throne of God. And my friend, as the Father in heaven relinquished that seven-sealed document down, the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, both a lamb and a lion at the same time, He reached out and took the book and He began to break the seals. That's where we pick up chapter 6. And when He began to break those seals, my friend, I wonder if the sound of breaking of seals has been heard just yet. As He began to break those seals, my friend, we begin to hear something. Oh, it wasn't the sounding of the trumpet. My friend, it was something that the people of the earth needed to hear. It was something the United Nations needs to hear. It was something that the inhabitants of the earth needs to hear. And it's something you need to think about. My friend, as He began to break those seals, they began to hear the hoofbeats coming. And they could hear the horses coming. And as He looked up and saw that there was a rider coming on a horse. It was a white horse. And he was carrying a bow, and he had a sharp sword to go with it. He came riding on this horse, my friend, and he came to conquer the earth. He came to rule over the earth. You say, well, that's good. He's on a white horse, and he's clothed in white. My friend, he's the Antichrist. He is the one who has come to the earth to impersonate the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come to usurp the authority over Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ not running around this crowd. Let me tell you something, my friend. You get a right good dose of salvation, you'll change who you run around with. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, young people. You want to be sanctified? Choose your companions well. Old people, you want to walk a good life and a holy life? Stay away from the bad thing. My friend, you're not going to prosper in a crack house or a bar on Saturday night and hope you can get a little religion the next day. Let me tell you, my friend, Jesus Christ don't fool around this crowd. This is a bad crowd coming here. These guys riding these horses are bad fellows. And Jesus is not living with them. Jesus is not being with them. Jesus, my friend, when He comes, and He's coming, just give it a few more chapters in Revelation, you'll see He's coming. But my friend, as He comes, He's coming on His own. And this fellow here, he's conquering the earth. And I just think through the ages, the Lord Jesus Christ came and He said, all that ever came before me were what? Thieves and robbers. They were usurping the authority. My friend, as John looks up and he hears the hoofbeats of the horses coming, he hears their feet striking Zion's soil, and he looks up and here He come on the earth. My friend, this is not in heaven. This is on earth. And he hears and sees the conqueror coming. He pretends to be a lamb. He pretends to be good. And my friend, but ultimately, if you'll read this book, my friend, through and through, read Daniel, read Jeremiah, read Zechariah, read the words of Christ. I'll tell you what's happening. My friend, a false religion, a religion that's a Christless religion, but only a form of godliness. A religion, my friend, where people do not get to really know salvation, but where they only have religion. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you today, as He looks at the world and He begins to break those seals, you see what's going to happen. Every time He breaks the seal in heaven,
that's in the hand of God, my friend, on earth, the wrath of God begins to pour out. And there are four creatures. Somebody said, will there be animals in heaven? I'm pleased to tell you there will. I can't tell you that your little doggy that died last year is in heaven. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that he has a spirit that's in heaven. But I can tell you there are animals in heaven. I can tell you there are four beasts, creatures, around the throne of God. Now, they're not like any you've seen. Some of them have lions' bodies and wings on their back. Some of them have men's heads and animals' bodies. They're all kinds. But there are four creatures that stand around the throne of God and guard that place. And one of those creatures cries out, and you say, God wants us to know this stuff? Yeah. You know what do each of the creatures say? Come and see. Come and look at it. My friend, you go home today, don't take Preacher Eddie's word for it. Open the book. It's all right in there. Read it. So the white horse comes, and the white horse comes with an impersonator of Christ. And he's false all the way. He comes with a bow, but he gets a sword. And he conquers the earth with his ways and with his doings. And when this passes by, then, my friend, we hear another one of those beasts cry out. One of those animals that's around the throne. And what does he say? He says, come and see. Come and see. And what does he see? He sees and hears another horse coming. And when he hears the hoofbeats of that horse going across this planet, my friend, he looks up and it's a red horse. And the man that's sitting on it has a sword. And his name is War. He has come to take peace from the earth. My friend, if you're waiting for United Nations to bring peace, you're going to have a long wait. If you're waiting for the White House to bring peace to this world, you're going to have a long wait. My friend, if you're waiting for people to quit having wars and quit shooting off guns and quit making bombs, you're going to have a long wait. My friend, the rider that's called War, riding a red horse and dressed in red, my friend has come to take peace from the earth. Jesus Christ answered the question of his disciples when they showed him all the things that were in the temple in Jerusalem. He said, you see all this? Every stone's going to be cast down. This whole place is going to be leveled. And all of this is going to be gone. And then the coming of the Son of Man will be. And the stars will fall. And the moon will turn to blood. And the sun will black out. And all kinds of terrible things will happen. And the disciples said, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? How will we know that's going to happen? He said, be not deceived. Be not deceived. And then what does he say? Nation. How's this time going to be from the time that Jesus is here until he comes again? What kind of a place will it be to leave? I'll tell you what. He said, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. My friend, he said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. He tells us that there will be unrest among all the nations of the earth, and men will fight against each other. My friend, it will happen. War, oh my friend, when the First World War started and men looked at all the kings and princes and people that were together and gathered up, they thought it was Armageddon. And they fought the battle and the war to do what? The war to end all wars. World War I. My friend, it was not a generation later that we were in World War II. And my friend, in Vietnam and in the Middle East. Let me tell you something, my friend. And now the Russians and all of that. Let me tell you something, my friend. There is going to be no peace. Patrick Henry said, gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The next sound from the north will bring the sound of clashing arms. But let me tell you, my friend, when men say peace and safety, now who said that? The Bible. The Bible said when men say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You say, well, travail? Well, at the moment of travail, it's a surprise. It's not a surprise she's going to have a baby. It's a surprise what moment she's going to have the baby. It should not be any surprise to us that men are not getting along with each other and are not going to get along with each other. But what? But what? But we, my friends, can know that this world is not a home for the peace and the blessings of God. As we look at that this morning, my friend, and we see the red, the white horse of conquering Antichrist goes forth. We watch the red horse of war go forth to the earth. We hear the sound of the hoofbeats again, and it's a black horse. Out comes a black horse, and you know what he's saying? He said, it'll take a whole day's work, a denarius. It'll take a whole day's work to pay for one quart of seed, for of wheat seed, to make flour. Brothers and sisters, that's not very much. A whole day's wages for that much flour? Think about it. In that day, men are going to be starving to death. You say, oh, in this day and time, we got modern farming. We got all this. Do you realize that all of the grain, right in this minute, all of the grain that's for Lebanon and Syria and Turkey and all of that area is tied up in the Ukraine? Do you realize that's the breadbasket over there? If they don't get that loose within this winter, men and women and boys and girls and nations of the Middle East are going to be starving to death. Not figuratively, but literally going to be starving to death. Do you realize, my friend, things are drying up. Things are heading toward the end. You better listen. I think I hear the hoofbeats of the black horse. Men and women and boys and girls are going to do without food. You would do well, brothers and sisters, to be frugal in your living. You would do well to be careful about what you waste and what you don't put aside. The black horse of famine is going to walk these hills and run through the valleys of this world. And then as he stands there and listens, he hears the faint cry of a fourth horse coming. And the fourth horse comes and he looks at him and it's death. We'd have to call Ralph Stanley, I guess, to come and sing, "Oh, Death." Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Death is coming. You see how much? As much as a third of the population of the earth will be destroyed at once. As much as a fourth of the earth's population will be destroyed at once. Pestilences, diseases, one after the other. You remember some months ago I told you that the pandemic would eventually pass. And I told you that the diseases would pass, but it would be replaced by another. And, well, and so it is. It's going to continue that way. My friend, if we ever believed in and practiced divine healing, we ought to start doing it now, because medical science is not going to be able to answer all the needs that we have. Shucks, not going to be able to. My friend, they can't do it now. They can't answer all the needs we have now. Medical science is not going to be able to save us. We've trusted our miracle drugs and our wonder drugs and all those things, but brothers and sisters, they're going to fail. You are going to need your faith. And I believe in healing. I believe God is as much God as He's ever been God. He can heal as much as He ever healed. And brothers and sisters, we look at this and we hear the hoofbeats somewhere off in the distance. Those are the white horse of conquering false religion. Those are the red horse of war. Those are the black horse of famine and the pale horse of death that's coming. Human beings buried in mass because there is not enough people that can dig the graves to put them in. We've seen it already this year and last year. We've seen them open mass graves in the Ukraine and other places and put them back. And you say, what are we going to do? Well, I want to tell you something. Number one, it's in His hand. That's who has the book. Not the United Nations. Not Mr. Biden or Mr. Trump. I have to tell you, you sure got a mouse-squeaking faith if that's all you have to trust in. You say, which one? Either one. All of them put together. My friend, they don't have the answer. They don't have the answer. We don't have the answer as human beings. The book is in His hand. And where is He sitting? On the throne. And my friend, who is breaking the seals and rolling out the book? The Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, I have to tell you, we know Him today as Savior. We know Him as Redeemer. We know Him as our Lord. We know Him as, and we say it, we're so blessed here in America. Everywhere I go, I hear people say, God is good. And what's the answer to that? All the time. Is that true? Sure, it's true. God is good, and He's good all the time. But I can tell you, my friend, the wrath of the Lamb is going to come. You see, the Lamb, you ain't never seen nobody mad till you see the Lamb mad. You say, well, I don't know, but Jesus never did get mad. You didn't read the book, did you? Did you read about Him going up to Jerusalem and they were buying and selling in the house of God and making profit off of religion and all that kind of thing? And what did Jesus do? He became angry. He turned over their money tables. He threw out the pigeons and the cows and everything and took a whip, made a whip and hit them with it and made them run out. You say, oh, Jesus did that? You ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till He does it here. My friend, He's going to release these four horses, four horsemen. And as you look at this, my friend, He who was our Savior, He who came lowly in Bethlehem's manger, He who, my friend, came and reached out His hands to the poor and the downtrodden and helped them out, my friend, He is angry with the inhabitants of this planet, for they have turned against Him. Nations that had so much, nations that were so blessed as we are, my friend, He has come in His anger to get us. You say, what can I do? What can I do? Repent, my friend. Make sure, you can't control Washington. You can't control New York, the United Nations. You can't control those nations in the Middle East. You have no control of the things that are shaping your life. Things are happening right now that you have no control of and never will have control of. My friend, there's only one thing you can do. Trust in the Lord. Make sure that your sins are under the blood. Make sure that you're ready when the hoofbeats become louder and when the trumpet sounds. My friend, if you're here today, or if you're listening by whatever media, my friend, and you're not ready, I would tell you, be ready. Jesus said, be also ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man has come. I hear the hoofbeats of the horses against the pavement of the world, and my friend, The Lamb has prevailed to open the book. He has earned the place. And all of heaven is singing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb to open the book. My friend, are you ready to meet the one who opens the book? Are you ready to meet the one who is worthy to unlock the seals. My friend, is your life in shape? I remember old Brother Kenner Kitts up in Bland County talking about his salvation one day. Said, I just couldn't stand it no more. Said, I was driving down the road up above Brocky Gap, and said, I jumped out of the truck and I run over in the field and got down on my knees and squared up with the Lord. Are you squared up with the Lord? Are you squared up with the Lord? My friend, if you're not, I invite you to come. Jesus still has the door open. The horsemen do not have the control of the earth yet. The day of grace and mercy is still here. And my friend, you want to be ready. You want to be ready when He comes. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me as we pray? And if you need prayer today, if you're not saved, if you're lost and undone, would you come? Would you come and pray? Would you let God touch you? If you're not in this sanctuary right now, if you're listening by radio or CD or whatever you're listening to, my friend, I invite you to come. I invite you to find an altar. Oh, it don't have to be one of these made altars like we have in the church. My friend, you can just kneel by a rock pile somewhere. Kneel neath the old olive tree or under the shadows of the weeping willow. But my friend, whatever you do, bow yourself down before God. And you say, preacher, you're scaring the bejabbers out of me. I hope so. I hope so. I hope you're alarmed. I hope when you watch the news, it just torments you to death. My friend, till you go somewhere and find a place to repent and turn to God before it's everlastingly too late. Boy, that's an old expression. Amen. Let's sing it. And I think we're singing, What a Day.